KMAN.
Good Monday morning. Brady Bowman with you on this Monday edition of In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We're going to talk some Kate State College Vet Med. And we'll also have Manhattan City Manager Ron Peer and the Mayor Linda Morris will be on here just a little bit later. But right now, I'm here with Dr. Dan Thompson of the Kate State College of Vet Med. Dr. Thompson, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Brady. Thanks for having me on the show.
First, a little background for some folks. Dan, we're familiar with each other. We kind of go back a little bit of ways. Back in my sports coverage days with the Mercury, covered a lot of your daughters playing a lot of basketball around the region.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, basketball has been very, very good to our family and the Riley County area and beyond, and getting to meet folks like you and who cover the sports, who help us get the sports news out. It's just been a great relationship, and we're very thankful for all the people we get to meet.
And you still got quite a few playing basketball, right?
Yeah, the older two are done. They've moved on, but Tori and Sarah are both playing at Riley County, and they're having a good season. We have a good little team and a lot of fun, senior and a sophomore. So a few more years of people having to put up with me in the stands.
And still a lot of traveling, I bet, too.
You bet. We got rid of that Suburban, though. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
What'd you go with instead?
Well, I think Cindy's got an Explorer now. Rick Ebert got her an Explorer, and so she's all set up, and now we're downsizing. As kids move out, we get a smaller and smaller vehicle.
And haven't worn it out yet.
Oh, no. We're in good shape.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about some food safety issues as something you wanted to bring up today.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of work with different restaurant groups around the country, and McDonald's and Yum Brand Food, which Yum is Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and obviously don't do a lot of work on the Kentucky Fried Chicken side, but I do quite a bit with the Taco Bell, McDonald's, and things like that. People are concerned today, understanding a little bit more about how antibiotics are used in beef production and the safety of their foods. So I spend my time working with McDonald's, Yum's, other restaurant groups to help them understand and make evidence-based decisions. One thing we don't want to do is create a panic. And we have a lot of the groups out there that are what we call NGOs, non-government organizations, or lobbyists and activists and antibiotic activists. And sometimes they'll heighten the awareness maybe a little bit more than what's reality. And having an understanding of all that we have to go through in the beef industry to make sure that food is not only safe, wholesome, and nutritious, but making sure that it's affordable. Many people in this country have a tough time putting food on the table, and they're living paycheck to paycheck. And restaurant groups a lot of times don't feed the poor. Restaurants feed people who can afford to have someone cook the meal, plan the meal, and do the dishes. So when we start looking at where SNAP coupons or food stamps are spent in grocery stores, and we're making sure that we have evidence-based decisions before we make decisions on what kind of impact we would have economically for people. This is not an agricultural issue. This is if you eat issue. So it's an American issue.
It's a staying alive issue.
You bet.
In a lot of ways.
Yep.
Where have you seen, it seems like really over the last couple of years, this issue has really kind of grown more in prominence.
Yeah, I think that, everything comes in cycles. And we've done this with food safety, with animal welfare, environmental stewardship, and now antibiotics is something that are being scrutinized. And I think that people need to understand how much goes into, like the FDA first approves antibiotics to be used in animals. And they go through years of testing, millions of dollars in testing for safety on how it would be used. And then after it's approved, before it can go be used in an animal, there has to be what we call a veterinary client-patient relationship. And that veterinary client-patient relationship is a relationship just like if you want to get an antibiotic when you're sick, you go to the doctor, right? And the doctor then writes a prescription. After he has examined you or she has examined you, done the clinical signs, understood the diseases in the area, same thing that veterinarians do. So we go through that process as a veterinarian. We write the prescription, and then there's two parts to a veterinary-client-patient relationship. One, I've been on the farm. I understand the production. I understand the illness of the cattle. But two, the producer agrees. There's the client relationship part of this, the producer agrees to use the antibiotic in the way that it was prescribed. So from that point forward, we have the safety of how it's going to be used, withdrawal times. So there's a time and point in which that animal is last treated, so many days until that animal can be slaughtered, so to make sure that there are no antibiotic residues at all in the carcass.
Brady Bowman here with Dr. Dan Thompson with the K-State College of Vet Med. If you have any questions, comments, want to get involved in the conversation, give us a call, 785-537-1350. You could also tweet us at 1350KMAN. Also tweet myself at Brady2Day, two being the numeral. And Dan, one issue on this, I guess maybe you could explain for people who maybe get confused with what you're talking about with the whole GMO issue and maybe what the difference is when you're talking antibiotics and when you're talking the whole GMO issue.
Yeah, I think that the GMO is genetically modified organism, and GMO pertains mainly to crops. And so what we'll do is we'll splice a gene out of a drought-resistant wheat variety and splice the DNA or the genetic material out of that wheat and place that into a corn plant. And then that corn plant will then be able to grow in a drought-stressed area. Or let's say we take a gene from another species of crops and put it into sweet corn so that we don't have to use pesticides. So a lot of times I think that the people misunderstand that antibiotics are compounds that are used to treat humans and animals when we have bacterial infections. They kill bacteria. So when you go to the doctor and you get a Z-Pak, that's an antibiotic. And so we use that to treat. GMOs would be a genetically modified organism in which we would splice a gene in one crop or one species or variety of a crop and put it into another. So those are kind of the differences. Pretty much unrelated, but it's part of food production today. And understanding that the safety and the approval process of these, you know, we're at 7.4 billion people on this planet. And in the next 30 years, we're headed to 9 billion. We cannot go backwards in technology or the way in which we're going to feed people, or else we're going to have increased starvation around the globe. So getting over the fear of GMOs, having trust in our neighbors again in this country, that we're making the right decisions for people to understand how we're going to feed the masses, how it may be our children in the future, how they're going to feed their children and their children's children, are all things that we have to understand. We have it really, really good today. And when we talk about sustainability and sustaining this lifestyle, these are the types of discussions that we're going to have in open forum and learn to trust each other and know that each other has the other's best interest in mind every day.
And I'm glad you bring up those population statistics, because that's a big concern. And you look at that, those population projections, a lot of that's not necessarily the U.S., but the rest of the world growing at an exponential level. I think you talk with anybody who's involved in agriculture at K-State, that's a big mission of K-State is not just feeding the U.S., but feeding the world, where those populations are growing at a much higher exponential rate than even in the U.S. in comparison. And that's stuff where all that's going to be connected. When you talk about fighting for resources and talking about having good relationships globally with folks, that's also very key.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, fighting for resources, I truly believe that religion and food are going to be the reasons for our other international conflicts as we move forward.
Very interesting. We do have a phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for explaining the GMO thing. I've never really dug into it too much, but that was a good explanation.
Thanks.
When you splice in a gene on something like that, then the seed that's produced, are you able to take seed from that, and that gene is then in there going forward? And I'll listen off the air.
You bet. That's a great question. Once you splice that gene in and then it starts to replicate, let's say we put it into a corn, seed corn, then yes, that gene will be there and replicate in the grain the rest of the time. And one thing that we have to understand is that when we eat corn, or when a cow eats corn or steer or swine, they're going to break that corn down into protein, carbohydrates, and they will digest that just as if they were. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden absorb that DNA into their body and then it grows within a person or a cow. It's digested and broken down into the building blocks like lysine and tryptophan and different amino acids and things to that nature, to where any kind of DNA or genetic material that was in a grain would be digested.
All right. Very good. Very good answer. Very good phone call. And Dan, unfortunately, it's about all the time we got for you on
today.
You're
going to have me back then.
We do.
With you and Dave here, this is like old home week for me. This is great.
You know your stuff.
We try. We work very hard at it.
All right. We will have you back for sure. We'll maybe for a little longer, maybe more than one segment next time we have you on.
That'll be awesome. Take care, Rudy.
You too. We come back, we'll have City Manager Ron Feer and Manhattan Mayor Linda Morris right here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News is presented by Strecker Nelson West Gallery. Visit snwgallery.com for details on current and upcoming shows and stop by the gallery on Points Avenue right next to the Wareham.
This is Tori Berard, and I'm the bank manager of ESB Financial. As a local community bank, our priority is the success of our clients. We take pride in getting to know our clients and